heartaches by the dozen. And a lady on my mind that's driving me crazy. Why do I need to see those blue eyes looking at me that way again? After the way she did me, it's a sin. How could she just walk out and leave me? After all these nights in her arms, look where I am. And I've got $2 in the jukebox, $5 in a bottle, 10 more just in case that don't do the trick. And I'll be dead broke tomorrow morning, with heartaches by the dozen, and a lady on my mind that's driving me crazy.
Now, welcome everyone. You are here with us today, and joining us shortly will be most everybody else. So we are expecting a good turnout today. So we are glad that you are here today, and we will see which way that we can go, because we're trying to go digital today, and I'm hoping that we are actually going to be out onto the air and be able to talk with you. But right now I'm seeing that my microphone is just bouncing around quite a bit, and I really... don't see anything going on out in the air. And so if there is something going on in the air, you might just want to dial in and let me know. Yeah, hey, it's working just fine, and you can hear us. So I would certainly appreciate that, because like I said, right now I'm not hearing anything in the headphones. And boy, I'd like to know if we're broadcasting on the air or not. So you tell me, and I will certainly respond to that accordingly. I am just monitoring the lines as we are talking here, and I'm trying to see exactly what you might be hearing. I like I said, I'm not hearing anything in my headphones, and hopefully that is just in my headphones. I'll be able to hear a whole lot better once we get going here. So today we have a little bit of a different show. We're going to be talking about what happens, and do you feel you're safe at home, or are you not safe at home? And if you feel that you're safe at home, then I think that is a wonderful thing to do. But you know, it used to be today is the day. Thank you, Todd. Today is the day that we have a nights out, and that's the National Association of Town Watch, and we have the National Nights Out, and everybody is able to go out and see certainly what is going on, what is taking place. Your presence outside is most important, and that is done the first Tuesday of every August. We certainly hope that you will take that opportunity to stroll outside and let everybody know you are there and you are present, and that makes people that want to break into your home or do some harm to something, it will make them decide that maybe they need to go a different way, and that's exactly what the National Night Out is. I think also that certainly any time that, and I'm looking at the monitor right now, Todd is going to be calling in shortly, and I will be able to bring his call in online as soon as he does. He's a little bit caught up in traffic right now, and that's okay. That happens as we move through things. But we want to give you some pointers from a financial standpoint as to what takes place when you are spending time in worrying about your home. Certainly, home security is a big thing. People do have a tendency to maliciously break into homes, and there's numerous ways. If you ever have a concern about the safety of your home, here's a place that you can actually call. You can call your local police department. Many times they will have an officer that is a well-known specialist as to safety in homes. I know that in our police department, where in the city that I live, there is a police officer, and that really is all the police officer does, is he spends time with everybody, making sure that they feel safe and secure in their home, and he will actually come out and do a home inspection to make sure and point out the things that maybe aren't up to snuff. And certainly, you'll look at doors and you'll look at windows. Anytime you have what you would consider an opening in a wall, you at that point in time have an issue, and that opening in the wall can be entered through by some perpetrator. And the openings in the walls, typically we call them windows and doors. If you don't have the right lock system on it, if you don't have the right type of alarm system on it, if you have windows that don't latch well, or if you have windows that actually can be lifted out of their molding, then there may be an issue. Now, how does that fall from a financial standpoint? Well, actually, it's a great thing that falls from a financial standpoint, because certainly as soon as something of that nature happens, the very first thing that you're going to see is that your home has been invaded and you've lost some of your goods that you have in your house. The second thing, of course, that's going to take place is you're going to call the insurance company and find out what your deductible is and how much they're going to cover of the things that you have lost. And so feeling safe in your home is a very important thing for all of us, and we want to make sure that we feel comfortable. And certainly it can cost us dollars if we don't do it right. So first things first, National Night Out tonight, make sure that you show your support by walking outside, maybe having a picnic with your neighbors and your friends. Say hello to everybody, wave at everybody when they go by, and it shows a community of support that you're actually watching your neighborhood. You care about yourself and your neighbors, and you want to make sure that you're doing your neighborhood a really good service. You know, the other thing that it does, of course, is it lets a lot of other people know that your neighborhood is being watched by your neighbors, and there's nothing better than a neighbor spotting a car or spotting an individual in the neighborhood that just doesn't seem to be a fit there. They've never seen them before, and they're acting rather suspiciously. And I actually had that happen one time, and I will relay that story in just a moment. But I was... I would encourage everybody to support their National Nights Out, their neighborhood, and the local police department. What happened to me primarily was I saw an individual walking through our alley with a bag slung over their shoulder. I had never seen that individual in my alley before. When he saw me, because I was outside doing some work on the outside garden, when he saw me, it was you could tell that the individual was getting a little bit jittery. I found, it wasn't like your normal neighbor that might say hi and wave and chat for a moment. It was basically a very skittish individual. And so as they walked farther up the alley, I walked closer to the alley so I could see where the individual was going. And they went up to the top of the alley. They turned left, then they backtracked and turned right, but they looked down the alley to see if I was still looking at them or not. And then finally, I saw them appear again from the right-hand side of the alley, and it appeared that the backpack was now missing, and they kept walking off on the left-hand side. I walked to the top of the alley. I didn't see the backpack laying anywhere, but I didn't see the individual as well. So my first determination was that was fairly suspicious behavior, and I called our local police department. It wasn't an emergency call, so I didn't make a 911 call, but I called the local number. They sent an officer out. The officer was there in less than 5 minutes. And I told the officer what I had seen. He went up to the top of the alley. He looked around. And he noticed that there was a large green box on the ground that typically covers your utilities, primarily your cable and your telephone. But he also noticed that it seemed to be a little bit out of place. I had not noticed that, but he seemed that it was a little bit out of place. And he lifted it off of the utilities, and underneath that utility cover was the backpack. Inside the backpack was not a set of burglary tools. That's what I expected. But inside the backpack was something completely different. It was a 12-pack of beer. So I surmised that the individual probably was sneaking some beer away from Dad's refrigerator and going to hide it for an after-school activity. That's what the police officer thought as well. And so... he decided that, you know, I guess what I will do is leave the beer there. And so he took out his official stationery, and he wrote the individual a note and left it underneath the cover, and said basically that the beer was with him at the police station, and if you would like to come with his dad to pick it up, he'd be more than happy to give it back to them. Otherwise, it'll be sitting there for a couple of weeks, and they'll dispose of it. And I would have loved to see the expression on the individual's face when he came back to collect his beer after high school, and he found out that his 12-pack was missing, and there was a note on official police stationery saying, "I have it, and here's my number. You can call me." So, I mean, I thought it was a very interesting thing. But you know, that could have been a perpetrator. It could have been somebody that had a backpack not with a 12-pack of beer, but it could have been a perpetrator that had a bunch of burglary tools, and he was going to stash them there, then walk around the neighborhood, wait till I disappeared, and then come back in and break into his target. And as I said, and certainly Todd's joined us now, that starts to cost money, because if you don't have the right windows and you don't have the right door and you don't have the right burglar alarm, which you spend money to do when you have a home, then the first thing you're going to realize is that some of your goods are gone, and with the goods gone, you know that you're going to have to replace them. You're then going to have this issue of talking with the insurance company and finding out what your deductible is. That's going to cost money out of your pocket, and then the replacement of the goods. And then it depends upon whether it's going to replace it at the present value or if they're going to have some kind of depreciating value on it, which means more money out of your pocket. So it's kind of a big thing, and welcome, Todd.
Gee, Rick, it's so good to see you. I dialed in as I was trying to do some sightseeing in Plano, and all I saw were the backs of the taillights and cars in front of the Grand Willabend Mall. There was a wreck on Tulay, but I heard you in loud and clear as we launch as you're doing our first show digitally rather than through the old boards. Mm-hmm. And I dialed in, didn't know if you could see me or anything, but I could hear you just fine. So I assume you've been robbed. No, I'm just kidding.
I've been robbed with a sound in my head. which drives me crazy. You know, I could not hear the original music that I played. I didn't even know if it was coming through.
It was.
I cut to a second song that I have recorded out on the website.
I had a guest with me in the car, and she goes, "Is he just playing music to Phil?" I said, "Maybe. I'm not sure." No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
I put $2 in the jukebox and started humming along.
There you go. You sound great. And I love the topic when we talk about home safety. And I know you mentioned talking about National Night Out, which is a great way to know your neighbors.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to worry. You have a sphere of protection. When you've got other neighbors' backs and they have you, it's not just about personal safety and the ability to sleep well at night, but that is a major financial thing for people to face. If you or anybody you know has ever had their home broken into, you're robbed of not just one thing. You're robbed of the physical assets. If somebody stole jewelry from you, or a big TV or a game system or a computer, those are physical things that can be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just assume that we're talking about property crime, because the vast majority of criminals, and I know this because I talk with the police, and here in Dallas, especially on the Timmons quarter, their business chamber, they do monthly reports on crime. And they talk about property crime was what soared during the height of the recession. They're not criminals that are looking to cause you harm. They're looking to get stuff that they can fend because they need money. And that doesn't make it easier, by the way, here. But it's important to know that these are not people that are looking to harm you individually. The last thing they want to do is find you or anybody at home. Mm-hmm. They would rather an empty house where they come, grab a few things that they think are of value, and they're out. This is generally, when I talk about professional crime rings where they're chasing your house for weeks or months and saying, "All right, wait." No, these are people that are desperate. Oftentimes, the lowest level are people that are desperate for drugs, and they'll do anything for the next high. But during the recession, we had a different take. We had people that were simply starving, They were terrified of continued homelessness or being evicted from an apartment or having their power turned off, whether it's in the heat of a summer or last few years we've had some actual cold, you know, some snow and stuff. So people that would do things like that only out of desperation. Again, does that excuse it? No, it doesn't. But it's important to keep in mind what the recession and the economy actually had a play on crime rates and statistics, and the types of crimes that are dedicated police and public servants that they would have to deal with surge in that. So when you said that you wanted to talk about National Night Out, I that was where I was going right away, and I thought that's a great topic for a show like Your Money, Your Matters, because your home is your greatest asset.
It is.
And your home is, so that is your number one matter. And what better way to protect your home, protect your neighborhood, and protect your community than to know all of your neighbors, to know those that are around you so that you can watch each other, and know those that aren't around you. So you have some sort of spider sense. When you realize that person does not look like they belong here or in our neighborhood, they certainly don't look like they belong in my neighbor's door. They don't look like they belong on the back window with what looks like a crowbar trying to force their way in. So, I'd say the internet has done a huge disservice to communities because we spend so much more time plugged in, and whether we're inside or even if we're outside, but we're plugged in and we're not paying attention to our neighbors. And you know more about what's going on in other parts of the country and less than what's going on down the street from you. So you couple all this together. It's important to get out. Know your neighbors. Let them know you. Create relationships. It's good for beyond just protection. It's just good for the social value. You know, part of what I love living in my neighborhood in Collin County is incredible neighbors, incredible relationships and friendships. What's the value of moving into a nice neighborhood if you don't even care about the people that live on either side of you, across the street or behind you? Don't you want to be a good neighbor? that makes sense. But in the sense of your money, your matters, it's critical. It's critical in a sense of protecting your community. You have their back; they have yours. Rick, I'm certain, and sorry as I'm walking up, I may have missed one of your first stories, but I'm certain, Rick, you've probably known people that have either had a break-in or averted a break-in because you know each other.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are a couple of things that I think, I'll give you a couple of pieces of trivia that I think are kind of neat. I thought they were interesting, you know, other people look at it and go, yeah. I always wondered why, streets were as wide as they are in residential areas. I found a very interesting fact, because I asked our street guy at the city, you know, the residential streets are no more than 50 feet wide. And their houses were always set back 25 feet. And I thought, you know, that's pretty far away. I mean, I'd rather have that lawn in my backyard and have a bigger backyard than a tinier front yard. Here was the reason. It came out of very old documents of why this was set up in a planning system. You can recognize a human face. It's been understood that a human being can recognize another human being's face up to 100 feet away. Thus, the reason that if you have a 50-foot street, you have a house set back 25, it's 100 feet from your door to your neighbor's door. So you can recognize if the individual is supposed to be there or not, and it was set up long ago by city planners as far as being able to identify whether that person belongs there or doesn't belong there. And obviously, if you have narrower streets, you have a narrower setback, but that's the max. So that's why people have 25-foot setbacks on their lawns, and the street is 50 feet wide, so that that is the maximum, and it's no further.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if you have, you know, you drive into estates and estates are set way back behind a gate and another estate set way back, you couldn't recognize somebody at your neighbor's front door. So then it's up to you. But I thought that was interesting. The other thing that I thought was interesting is we had a briefing from a policeman who was giving a brief as to what do you do in situations, maybe not like a home break-in, but you're at a movie theater or some other place, and movie theater is in the news these days, as far as somebody coming in with a rifle or a gun to do some type of destruction. He said, here is what is recommended by the police departments and also by the national security agencies, the FBI and others. The first thing that you should do is run. Whenever you go into any kind of public area, the very first thing that you should do is know where you're going to exit. So if you go to a theater, keep in mind where are the exit points. If you go into a restaurant, keep in mind where are the exit points. Somebody came in here, where would I go? Where would the family go? So the first thing you want to recognize is where the exit points are in any kind of public facility. And so the first thing that you would try to do is you would get as low as you possibly can and move quickly out and move away. And he said the reason that you want to get low is because it's harder to hit a low target than a high target. So he's standing target.
Thank God I'm short.
So that's the first thing that you want to do. You want to be able to get low and you want to move out of the way. The second thing, if you can't do that, is you want to hide. So if you can't find an exit point, you want to find some place to hide. Now, here's what I thought was interesting. He said, if you have your cell phone with you, make sure you put it on silent.
Oh.
And make sure that you take it off of vibrate. Because if somebody's a real bad guy, and he's not walking down the hallways looking for people, even the vibration of your cell phone, he can now hear that you are in this room that you are hiding.
Mm-hmm.
So take it off of vibrate and take it off and make sure it's silent, but text. And text out to 911. Don't try to call, because if you call, obviously you're making sounds. So text someone to call 911 or text 911. Some cities allow you to text 911. And then he said the third thing is that obviously if you can't run away from the situation, you can't hide from the situation, you are deeply into the situation, then you need to confront as violently as you possibly can. That means don't just sit there. Every object around you is something you can throw.
Mm-hmm.
And he said you throw things and start throwing things until you can get away from the situation, and I thought that was very interesting information. Has nothing to do probably with a home burglary, other than a story that I heard on the news the other day of a burglar who had entered into a person's home.
Mm-hmm.
The wife heard the situation, went downstairs, confronted the burglar, pushed him out of the open door, closed the door. As the husband was now coming down hearing the commotion, the burglar breaks through the door again and comes back at her. Now the husband enters the room and the burglar leaves. That could have been a far worse situation than
if he'd already gained position, or if he was trying to hurt her if it was a property crime. But you've got somebody who doesn't care, and they say, you're in the way of me stealing, and they pull a gun or a knife. And
I guess my first feeling would be I would dial 911, even on my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I would dial 911, and if I wasn't in the room staying upstairs while the commotion was downstairs, because, if they want to take the TV, that's fine. I'll get a new TV. But if the commotion is downstairs, I'll dial 911 and I'll have the police come out and handle the downstairs.
Yeah.
If not, I'm going to take that with me.
I have several thoughts. First, as you were talking about the movie theaters, and yes, that's been in the news the last few days because of the sentencing for the person in Colorado for the shooting. Is that Aurora?
That's correct. Yeah.
Back in 2012 at the premiere night of The Dark Knight Rises. I see now, whether you're at a Cinemark or an AMC or whatever your theaters, they have, before the show starts, they now have their animations that say, know your exits.
Really?
You're not
a movie, are you? No, I go to plays.
Wherever art thou exit? it.
No, show us gold and you're
Shakespeare the shooting. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, gosh. No, but seriously, the movie theaters, so they've actually, I'm certain it's in response to some
this
of these.
Is good.
So they have animations. They make sure, it almost feels like when you're on an airplane. Know your exits, know the lighting, but they say, here's where you can exit to and fro. And they say to be alert. And if there's something that's not right, grab an employee. You know, what they do say is they don't say run. They say don't panic and evacuate as quickly as possible, but not panic. So they probably don't want to have a stampede or, you know, where you trample people to death, especially down the steep stairs.
Yeah.
But that's part of all that.
Mm-hmm.
So second thing is you're just talking about in a home breaking. You know, we could spend a show that has nothing to do with money at all. In one of our great state of Texas favorite conversations or controversy, depending on which side you are, about gun rights and laws. And some people believe in owning a gun, some people don't. And not here or there, where, you know, I believe in the Constitution and the amendments that give people the right to bear arms. Whether I do or not is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is important is if you're somebody that doesn't believe in owning a gun to protect yourself, have something. Because if, God forbid, somebody breaks into the home, you want to have something to protect yourself. So I will say in my former residence, with my ex-wife,
mm-hmm.
officially, which is another great story we can tell about, but I have now gone through that process. That is behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But my ex-wife did not want to have a gun in our home, even mm-hmm. though I'm trained and licensed to fire a firearm. Mm-hmm. She did not want one in our home. So I have softball bats, big aluminum bats that I put on either side of the bed, under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
It was not part of the decor of the bedroom. But so that way, if somebody broke in, yeah, I may not have a pistol, but I can pretend like I'm playing for the City of Plano Championship, as I won 2 years ago. And sometimes I'd swing and miss. But whenever I would make contact, I would make contact hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just pretend that the perpetrator, that their head is a giant softball. And I would not feel bad if they were concussed or killed in the middle of the night because they broke into my property.
Mm-hmm.
I would be swinging first and asking questions later. I'll leave the questioning with the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
But once somebody comes on your property, they pose a dire and imminent threat. That your words, that you said this guy said to you, is react as violently as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know this is not something to be negotiated out of, it's... You have to think of it as survival, and it's your life or theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right, Rick. You need to be able to, and you need to know what are you willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would think, oh, I could never harm another individual. Well, what happens when they're not so caring and noble?
That's true.
You have to learn to be played by the rules
at that point.
That you have to obey the rules of engagement that they've now put upon you, whether you like it or not. And so I know some people say, well, I've got kitchen knives or a block of knives. Well, if you can get there first, great.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a bat, whether it's a can of mace, you know, or whether you've got a taser, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people, like martial artists, they'll have nunchucks, they'll have
throwing
knives. They'll have a samurai sword.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly we're like Kill Bill. You know, it's volume 2. And it's, hey, is that a Hattori Hanzo sword? Why, yes, it is. I think I'll be leaving now. That will take my head clean off. So, but this is the kind of talk about protection that we've probably never done before. And it's interesting, Rick, because we talk about your home being your greatest asset. Your home is your greatest financial asset.
Yes.
What's your greatest asset?
My life.
Your life.
And the life of my family that's there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's so common sense. And yet, like so many of the other morose, or morbid things, things that we don't like to confront, it's easier to imagine them never happening than it is to say, what is my contingency plan? What is a, God forbid, worst case scenario, if an intruder came in, what would I do? It's easier to say, well, I live in a good, clean neighborhood, and it's safe. Or, because I did National Night Out, I know my neighbors, so I don't have to worry about this stuff. No, you still have to worry about
this
stuff.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, especially if you are in a neighborhood where they put up fences. Now, when I grew up, you didn't have a fence in your backyard.
Yeah.
You know, all the houses were facing out towards the street. Your driveways were facing out towards the street. Your backyard was connected to everybody else's backyard. And the reason that you knew the difference between yours and theirs was the edge of the flower garden. Otherwise, it was a giant playground behind all the homes. And so you could see if somebody was walking through the backyard that didn't belong there.
Yeah.
Now homes have gotten a little more private, and people obviously have pools, have to put up fences. People that don't have pools put up fences because the homeowners association says, thou shalt have a fence. And so you put up a fence. When coming into the fence, obviously nobody can see what somebody is doing on the inside of the fence. And you see a lot of crimes today, a lot of burglaries today, coming through the back door. Now, what do we typically have in the back door? We have a patio door. And what does a patio door have? A lot of little windows on it.
Yeah.
And so those windows are easy to break out. I can run, reach in, open up the latches, and open up the door. Or, as some people have done recently in Plano, right near where my house is, they have just literally just kicked the door in and not worried if the alarm system went off, because they're going to be in there for less than 2 minutes and they're out. I think
long before a responder would
get there. A police officer was describing the situation that he believes they were in there a total of 90 seconds. They went in. They went into the bedroom. The master bedroom, and looked for jewelry. That's what they were looking for, jewelry. And on the way out, they took a couple of pieces of electronics at the same time. But they're in and out in 90 seconds before a neighbor would peek out and say, you know, why is the siren going off over at that home? One thing that is a deterrent in some homes, of course, like myself, is a dog. My dog is my alarm system before my alarm system because she can tell when somebody is walking on the sidewalk right by the house whether or not they are, basically an individual that should be there, and she lets me know. What I did find funny is that I was telling that to one of my friends that, you know, my alarm system is, or early warning system is my dog. And he said, well, I don't have a dog because they live in an apartment. I don't have a dog. We can't have pets. But he said what he did is he did invest in a motion system, a little motion wireless system that he has on the patio and he has on the front door. And it is hooked to a speaker system that he has in the house. And his alarm system is this. It imitates a very large dog.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I love it. It's a recording of a very large dog barking.
Oh, my God.
And so if somebody walks up to the front while he's not there, this very large dog sounds like it's barking from the other side of the door.
Wow.
And nobody wants to go in. And then after a couple of minutes, it will stop. But if somebody comes back to the door, it will start up again.
Again, criminals, they prey on fear, but they also understand fear, and they want an easy in and out. The moment they hear something like a dog, or especially sometimes ferocious, they probably say, not worth my time. You know, as part of me moving out during the course of my divorce, one of the best things that I possibly could do, it was a hard decision because I love my dog, Obi, named for Obi-Wan Kenobi, who's pretty ferocious himself. My dog, Obi, is really my dog. He belongs to me. He follows me and me exclusively. And yet I knew there would be no greater protector as I moved out from my family than this 85-pound Rottweiler who was not very nice to neighbors that he did know. By the way, loving and stuff to our kids. But not very nice to even neighbors. If somebody ever broke in, he would shred them to pieces. I've often wondered, should I go to my insurance company and say, you've given me a discount for having an alarm system, but what is my discount for having an attack dog that will kill on contact? You know, so you're right. That it's so valuable. I have never heard of an alarm system to imitate a dog.
Yeah.
I think it's so great.
Yeah, you thought it was great, and I thought it was great, too, from the standpoint that, you know, I spend a lot of money on my dog, not only from grooming and vet bills and food and all that other stuff. If I added it all up, it's, you know, a couple thousand a year, probably, my guess. You know, you buy a big bag of dog food, and that's $100. And he spent all of $79 getting this thing off of the Internet. Operates off of, you know, wireless and Bluetooth, all this other good stuff. And he can turn it on and off when he leaves, so he's not, you know, entering the house with this thing going off.
So the neighbor at my old house, and I'm in one of those subdivisions where I really want to go measure the whole 100-foot thing that you talked about 10 minutes ago, because we have the wide streets, and so... And no driveways, so all you have alleyways that go behind. So, as a matter of course, you end up getting to know the neighbors behind you rather than the neighbors in front of you across the street. You know the neighbors behind you better. So our neighbor behind my old house, named James, very courteous, nice guy, wonderful family. But early on, he goes, I want to make sure I'm not upsetting you with the brightness of my, he goes, I've got motion sensors that have, basically, they're not strobes, but they're like the highest power beams that the upstairs of my house would feel like the lights are on. If somebody's going through our alley, it goes on, and it shines in.
This morning, the sun came up.
It is. And I said, my kids have never mentioned it, because they're upstairs, I'm downstairs, and never would know. So then he goes, by the way, he goes, I hope you know that, he goes, not only have the motion sensor with the light, he goes, but anytime there's motion, it triggers my cameras. And he goes, I want you to know where the cameras are.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I hope you understand. He goes, because our driveways face each other. He goes, I have a full view of your driveway as well. So if anything ever happened, he goes, you know, you'd be able to use my tape. He goes, I don't want you to think I'm like taping at your house. And he goes, I said, no. I said, of course, yeah. I said, are you kidding? This is like an added bonus. He goes, so I just want to remind you, he goes, I don't ever care. He goes, but if you ever wonder when you go out to take the dog out in the middle of the night and you're in your underwear, yeah, it does end up on my video. and no, I don't care. He would do the same thing.
Well, you'll find it on YouTube.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what is 4chan again? No, anyway, but it was the funniest thing. And they got to be really good, close neighbors. But he really had me thinking about it. I said, wow, you've taken the time and invested in having these cameras. He's got cameras at six different points on his home. That are all motion sensitive, and you know, not that will prevent, you know, but if it's a criminal, is more professionals, it would be a more seasoned criminal. They're going to look and they're going to either say not worth my time, or they're then going to say, how do I circumvent this? For a dumber criminal, they're probably not going to know, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it, Rick, when you see on TV, tonight we're looking for this person caught on a home video. Did it deter them from breaking in? No, it didn't. Yeah, you're on video, and you're like, you idiots. And now you have a face to put with your object of hatred, anger, and potentially fear. And of course, depending on who did it, can also bring up concerns of stereotyping, you know, or profiling in your neighborhood, which you don't want to do, but you want to know who your perps are that you got to fear. But anyway, yeah, it's fascinating. By the way, I wouldn't have known that my neighbor did all this had I not met him like 7 years ago at the neighborhood night out.
Yeah, and we're having another one of those. We have pool parties periodically, and I go to them, and it's not, that I'm going to jump in the tank of water or anything else. It's that...
Yeah.
It's that you get to meet all your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So the more times that you go to these things, the more times you get to see your neighbors, and the more you become friends with them and understand who's in the neighborhood.
Right.
So you can spot things that look a little bit suspicious as they come through.
Yeah.
And as you know, it all relates back to the dollars that one wants to spend. I mean, obviously, they can put motion sensors on there, and they can put cameras on there, and they can put security systems on there, and they can have a monitored security system. And yes, does that give you a deduction in your insurance? Most insurance companies will give you a deduction on that from a couple of standpoints. One, it protects the goods a little bit better on the inside. You know, somebody that is not a professional that is opening the door and alarm goes off will leave. Professionals know they can be in and out of there quite quickly, and so they're not too worried. But the non-professionals will take off. The other thing that it does is it, obviously, if it's monitored, it's hooked up to something where somebody's going to respond to it and say, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
If they make a call to you and they find out nobody's responding, their second call goes to the police department. And the police department will respond to them. Now, if you talk to any police department, you'll find that there's a significant amount of false alarms that take place within a city. I know that our police department responds to a lot of false alarms.
Mm-hmm.
However, they respond to every single one of them, whether they're a real alarm or false alarm, because they don't know. They just assume it's a real alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going out there to investigate what's going on. You know, a lot of times they find the homeowner, you know, kind of sheepishly, I opened up the patio door and didn't turn off the alarm system, you know, and my fault and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to know that you've spent the few dollars that you have in order to have that type of protection.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it depends upon, you know, basically what one's budget is. You buy the $79 barking dog off the internet, which I think is a great idea. You don't have to get, take him to the vet. You don't have to have a food
farm. I would say my actual dog costs more than that, but the initial cost is nothing compared to the real lifetime cost.
I think that, you know, there's a lot of things that are good about that stuff. You know, the motion cameras and everything, depending upon how you want to set it up, whether it's wired or wireless, you know, there's pros and cons to both of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody can cut a wire and somebody can interfere with wireless. All they have to do is put aluminum over the top of it and you're done.
Well, let's hope that they're all pros and that they never see a con.
Yeah. It's something that I think people need to understand. The other thing that we've mentioned on the show many, many, many times, you've said it, I've said it, and that is take an inventory of your goods that you have in your house, whether that is just going around videotaping everything or making still pictures of it or sitting there with a piece of paper and writing the stuff down.
You know, Rick, with cell phones now, and I always laugh since you've got four devices literally at your left elbow. Four different devices. But it would take 5 minutes to walk through on camera on your phone, do a video, and you can literally stand in a room and just spin for 10 seconds. Spin in the room slow enough where it takes 10 seconds. You'll be able to freeze frame at that point if you need to recreate. So look on the bookshelf, and as long as you just go up and down, you'll be able to freeze frame and zoom in and find the title of every book that you've got. Do the same thing to your CD collection or your movie collection. And of course, if it's all digital, I know some people that do the same thing, and they've said, I'm just going to shoot, here's my digital collection in iTunes, and they do that. Shoot your art on your wall, shoot your furniture, shoot your closet, your clothes. It really shouldn't take 5 minutes, and you can save it to the cloud, save it to a flash drive, keep it on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, if there's some sort of break-in, or if there's a fire, or a flood, or something else, you'll be able to say, yes, my insurance rebuild, if it's a home, you say it'll be rebuild my house to where it was, but it also replaces the contents, and you say, let me start making life easy for you. Either you're writing me a check, or you can start helping me repurchase all this stuff. And and generally, your insurance agent will be happy. They may even say, sure, take the video, send it to me, so I've got it on file. and maybe update it once a year. Ironically, I was just talking to my insurance agent yesterday as we're adding a new roommate on with my renter's insurance policy, but also helping them get some common insurance here in the great state of Texas. So, but it's always good. Talk to your insurance agent, though. They may have additional tips as well, saying, what are the bargains or the discounts I can get if I do this or that? So like my move to Texas, I didn't realize that not just having an alarm system, but having the police come out and inspect it, and like just do a walkthrough of your home, and it actually gets you a discount. Mm-hmm. And you actually, and there's a part of the police department that they do this. They go out and they'll schedule a walkthrough. I would have never known that. They don't do that in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have known had I not talked to my insurance agent.
Yep. And there's a lot of police departments that they're glad to do it, to be real honest. They would like people to feel secure in their home. Our police department in Plano does that. I know that our neighbor police departments do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they will actually go out and do a walkthrough of the home, and they will tell you everything that they feel is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Even down to, you know, you feel that, you know, the latch in your front door is really great, and the deadbolt is really great. But they will, you know, they'll, and I've had this happen at my house, and I actually changed the equipment on it because the deadbolt that was put on my patio door was a deadbolt, and it came out maybe an inch at the most. He took one look at it when he rolled it out, and he said, that's not far enough. You need it to go deeper into this. You need the deadbolt that's coming out an inch and a half to 2 inches, so it's going in through that piece of wood. Otherwise, he said, anybody can just push this door open.
You can break the wood,
And he said, you can push this door open, and all it's doing is taking the frame of the door off. But if it's going in deeper,
into the wall,
they have a real hard time getting that deadbolt to break down the wall, much less the door frame.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the one that told me about having longer deadbolts on that type of stuff.
You know, there's one other piece, and I always talk about, I use the word the social investment. If you have a relationship with a police officer because they've come out to your house, guess what? The next time you could probably say, I'm calling for Officer so-and-so, and they know you. They've actually walked through your house. And if something happened, that's probably the person you want because they've actually been in your home before. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to see if things have been strewn across or what's been damaged. You're not saying, and by the way, my art collection is gone. They may actually remember you. Mm-hmm. And you take the time. Remember, your police officers are also your neighbors, too.
Yeah.
And they're a valuable neighbor to have if they live in your neighborhood. But you want to have that relationship. Remember, the police are there to protect and to serve. That's the old standby phrase. And at a time where I feel the cynicism across our country, where each week it feels like there's a new what level of force was used or was it extreme and too much, it's almost like a character assassination of all police across the country. When the vast majority, 99.9%, are not only upholding the law and doing everything by the books, but they're there, they're putting their lives on their line and making sacrifices to protect you. So encouraging and supporting and thanking them back, making sure they're a welcome part of your community and not a, what are they doing here, or who are they trying to bust, welcome them in. Let them know your neighborhood. Let them know the makeup of your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever been concerned about some sort of profiling or a situation like that, invite them into your neighborhood. Say, let's have a town hall. We'd like you to know this is the diversity of our neighborhood, and we value each and every person, and we just want to make sure you know so that there's no concern that somebody looks shady, that these people belong here, that and every neighborhood's different. Yeah, this brings it really back to National Night Out. And I don't know, have you ever done where you've had police out for your National Night Out?
Yeah, they've driven by the neighborhood, and usually they do.
Yeah.
The neighborhood, there's in Plano, there is two levels of the police force. There's the neighborhood policeman,
mm-hmm.
And then there's the district mm-hmm. policeman. So those that are on neighborhood are driving through neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
and they will. And a lot of times you'll see them walking.
Mm-hmm.
They'll walk the neighborhoods, and they do that for a couple of reasons. One, they get to know the neighborhood better, but they get to know the neighbors.
Yep.
And you get to see them, and I think it's great. You know, whenever I see our policeman walking the neighborhood, just mm-hmm. you know, taking a stroll through the neighborhood, I'll go out and talk with them.
Yeah.
And then you have the ones that are in the districts, and they have their squad cars as well, or their sedans.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they're covering a little bit of a wider territory
mm-hmm.
and moving outside of the typical neighborhoods, but, you know, I mean, they're always there. The other thing I was going to mention, I thought, you know, this was a good idea, but when I was having my home inspected, I was told, no, it's a real bad idea. My daughter's room was upstairs, and I was talking to a fireman, and not a policeman, but I was talking to one of the firemen, and I was letting them know the layout of the house. You know, if I ever had a fire, I wouldn't want them to know the layout of the house, and I said, should I put some kind of decal or something on the window outside to let you know that that's, you know, where my daughter's, that's not a study or anything, that's where my daughter's bedroom is. And he looked at me and said, why? And I said, well, because I would like you to, you know, go rescue that person right away or whatever you need to do in case of a fire. And he said, it lets everybody know that that's your daughter's bedroom. He said, I'll tell you what the standard procedure is for the fire department. As soon as they come out, they assume there's people inside.
They're going to hear everything.
And they will. That's why they have the breathing apparatus and everything else. They go in, and the first thing that they do is they go to the rooms that you would normally be in during that day.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's at night, they assume you're sleeping. They will immediately go to the bedrooms and clear those.
Yeah.
And so he said, you don't put any decals in there at all. We're going in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, oh, okay, well, and I never knew that. You know, I just assume they stand outside and hose everything down. Oh no, they enter.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, it's interesting as we talk about National Night Out. I was laughing because I know one neighbor in my former subdivision said, we like the police to come, but does that deter us from having all the alcohol out and trying to get everybody blitzed? And I said, it depends on the police officer. You need to know your police. So that's funny. Ideally, maybe do a get to know one another mm-hmm. and do it in a pleasant way. And they know, well, the police department know when you do this, they usually it's a social gathering. And if you're going to have a keg of beer or whatever, as long as you're not serving the minors, you're probably okay. Don't get everybody plastered or anything. Don't do that. But being responsible, it's okay to do that. They understand. They want to facilitate you getting to know each other.
Now, here's a tip that the policeman gave me when he was out inspecting the house, and I thought it was a great idea, and I'll give everybody the tip. A lot of people for their backyards might have a sliding patio door.
Mm-hmm.
He said you can protect this with less than $3. The first thing you want to do is have a stick that runs on the runner below
mm-hmm.
The non-sliding portion.
Mm-hmm.
It runs from the wall over to the door. So obviously when you go out, you move the stick aside. But when you want it secure, rather than just the little click lock that's on it, you put the stick down, it's hard mm-hmm. to move the door. The other thing you do is this. The way the doors fit in is you move it out about an inch or two so it's clear of the jam on the left or right side of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lift it up and you pull the bottom out. That's mm-hmm. how the doors are put in, is they're put in a slot above, which mm-hmm. has enough room to lift the door up and then slide the bottom out. Or slide the bottom in and put it down into the mm-hmm. track down below.
Mm-hmm.
He said for less than a buck, you can go and get two wood screws, and you put them through the top of the wood that's lining around the upper part of the door. And at that point in time, you can't lift the door anymore without mm-hmm. removing the wood screws from the inside. So you put two wood screws in there. No one can lift up the, they can't move the door back an inch or so. If you didn't have the stick there, they can't move the door back. And they can't lift it up to the point that they can then push out the bottom and enter the house. And I never thought of that. And you know, you, obviously, if you want to make it a little bit more decorative, you recess the hole and cover it up or whatever it is. But I thought, what a neat solution to a sliding door and how to protect it than that little click latch that basically he said, it's worthless. On most of those doors, it's worthless because he said I can from the outside take a flexible piece of plastic, slide it in there in that latch.
Wow. You know, the one takeaway I always remember from my walkthrough when I moved into Collin County, well, first off, I was very pleased because the police officer talked about the craftsmanship of the home and saying was, you don't have a starter home where it's the shortest level of deadbolts or the frames are easily broken or somebody's trying to kick it in. So I was really happy with all that. But the best takeaway, it was in regards to the alarm. And obviously, just not wanting to have passwords or, you know, the code that anybody would know right off the bat, your favorite sports player or something like that. But he said, in addition to your passcodes, he goes, they generally let you program a panic code. And he goes, the only time you do it is in a panic. And he goes, you want that to be an easy access. He goes, I always recommend everyone to do 2580. So on a panel, generally, you'd be able to just put your finger and push straight down and it would hit them sequentially, 2580, and it immediately will say there's an emergency, contact 911. And it goes, so that way, if somebody's at the door, you don't want to be sitting here going, 1863, you know, like you've got to be pushing it. Oh, I missed the number. Let me do it again. But something that's easy, simple. And he goes, it's not something you have to remember like a code. He goes, it's just straight down. That's your panic. And I thought that was really valuable. We've never had to use it, thank goodness. But I've thought about that, and anytime I've done walkthroughs with other people at their home, that's a good thing to do.
I never thought of that number system. That's very interesting when you mentioned that. I did know that on my alarm system there is a panic code. But when the people that were putting an alarm system in were describing it to me, it was not that somebody was outside trying to come in, but I'm coming in and they follow me. So then they ask me to turn off the alarm system. Instead of putting in my normal code, I put in the panic code.
Right.
It supposedly turns off the alarm system.
Right.
It sends a signal that the panic code was just put in.
Funniest thing, the last time I had a police officer out to the house in response to an alarm, and they asked you, what is your code? Like, there's a security thing for when there's an alarm going off. And I thought, what is the best thing I can think of in regards to being in a panic? I thought of my mother's name. So, anyway, it worked! It worked! Rich, you know, this has really been like a good public service announcement on behalf of Cornerstone Credit Union League and Navicore Solutions, because we care about all of our listeners and their safety, not just their safety of their financial assets, but the safety of themselves, their livelihood, their lives. So hopefully people have taken this and think about implementing a few good tips, a few different habits at home to best protect, and hopefully they'll take advantage of National Night Out. If you don't know about a National Night Out in your community, talk to the HOA. If you don't have an HOA, talk to your neighbor and say, let's do something.
Yeah.
Let's just do a get-together. It doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be expensive. Next week, I would love to talk about back-to-school, because I'm already starting to do back-to-school shopping with my kiddies.
That's right.
As I've got a high schooler and a middle schooler now. So I look forward to talking about how to best save, as well as incorporate some money-saving tips and money lessons for your kids when you take them out to do that.
Yeah, that's a really good topic.
Yeah.
We'll do that again next Tuesday on Your Money, Your Matters. So thank you, everyone, for joining us again today. And we certainly look forward to talking to you next week about going back to school on Your Money, Your Matters. Money, money, money.
Oh,